This is Billy Brim, and we are talking about Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, in the light of Bible prophecy, because it is the touchstone of the end time happenings. And we are in a very special year. We are in the 40th anniversary year. May 16 is the anniversary, according to the Jewish calendar, according to our calendar. It is in June, but it's the 40th year since Jerusalem came back into the hands of the Jews, exactly as Jesus said it would in Luke 21. Now, we're looking at Jerusalem from God's eyes. You can't see why Jerusalem is important to the Muslims, why it's important to the Christians, why it's important to the Jews. We have to find out why it's important to God. And we're going to look at it in the Bible. The very first time that it is introduced to us in the Bible is when Abraham came back from his Valley of the Kings, where he had defeated the kings, Chedorlaomer and all the kings, and had rescued his nephew Lot, whom they had kidnapped. And on his way back, he comes through, actually is the king of Sodom, who led him there to the city of Salem. The city of Salem, or what is today Jerusalem. I read to you from now, from Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. The way you say it in Hebrew is Melchizedek. Melchi means king. Tzedek means righteous. We say Melchizedek. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God the Most High. He blessed him, saying, "Blessed is Abraham of God the Most High, maker of heaven and earth. And blessed is God the Most High, who has delivered your foes into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of everything. Now, the sages, the ancient sages, identify Shem as Melchizedek. They identify Melchizedek as Shem, son of Noah. Remember, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Melchizedek, according to the most ancient oral tradition coming down from Moses, is that he was Shem. And that this Shem, who was called king, that's a title, king of righteousness, Melchizedek is not a name, because he was the king of the future site of the temple, the home of righteousness. So Melchi, the king of Tzedek, righteousness, the future site of the temple is the place of righteousness. He was the most honored of Noah's children, and he was made the priest of God. Now, Melchizedek won the priesthood through his own personal merit and not through inheritance. He did not pass on the priesthood to his heirs. Remember, this is a long time before Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood. After Moses' brother Aaron became the high priest, then his sons became the priest. But Melchizedek is before all that time. He is the priest of the Most High God on his own merit. This gives you some light from the New Testament. This is in Hebrews chapter 7. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part." I'm reading from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2. "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem," which is king of peace. That was the name of the city where he was at that time, Salem or Shalem, Shalem. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest forever." I used to think, and I think some Christians do, that this Melchizedek is some weird thing who didn't have a father and didn't have a mother, and he's just like an angelic presence on this earth. No, he had a father and a mother, Noah and Mrs. Noah. It means... this is the trouble of trying to understand the Bible with Western eyes. We need to realize that it's simply telling us he did not become a priest through his mother's or his father's lineage. But, and then it says of Jesus, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Jesus did not come in the Aaronic priesthood line. He was born of the tribe of Judah. And so it says that we can understand that here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, Melchizedek was without father, without mother, no lineage that gave him. Now consider verse 4, how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave tithes from the spoils. Folks, tithes is not under the law. Some people believe that tithes is under the law. It's not under the law. It precedes the law. The law doesn't come until much later. Abraham precedes Moses in the law. But the tithe was already in order, and he gave the tithe to the priesthood. Then we are told here in verse 8, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Whenever you send your tithes, you send your offerings to the house of God, the place of God, you don't give them to men. The offerings that people send in here to us, they give to God. You give to God. We're going to be held responsible before God by doing the work of God. But you give your offering to God. Here we do receive them. And here we use them. And here, oh, how thankful we are for them. I just want to say a thank you for every one of you who help us, who are partners, and who help us stay on the radio. I wish you would send a radio offering this week to help us in your area. Bless the Lord. Now, that's the first place that it's mentioned in the Bible. Melchizedek was there. The ancient sages see it, that he was watching. He had a school there, in fact. He taught the things of God. You're not going to get off that boat. The whole world has been destroyed. And you're left one of the only ones on it without being a teacher. And Shem was a teacher. And he had a school in the city that later came to be called Yerushalayim. And Abraham, this is the first mention of Jerusalem in the Bible, the city of Salem. Now, we have it mentioned to us again, and in the life of Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. I want you to turn there with me. And remember, you have to have your Bibles every day, and there's a test at the end of the week. No, I'm just teasing. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, actually, he would have said Avraham. I like to say things the way they're pronounced. He said unto him, Avraham. And he said, Hineni. Oh, that's a wonderful word in Hebrew. It's translated always, behold, in the English. But you'll see with Samuel, you'll see with Jacob, you'll see with others in the Bible, when God called their name, they said, Hineni. It means, behold me, here I am. And God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Yitzhak, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Yitzhak, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. The place. Now, English speakers, I don't want you to miss this. I want you to underline that word, the place, in your Bible. Here's how you say that in Hebrew. Ha makom. The way you say the is ha, H-A, makom. Capital M-A-K-O-M, ha-makom, the place. Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible before it's called by its whole name. It is called the place. You're going to see today and tomorrow how Jerusalem is the place. Ha-makom. We're offering you cassette tapes or CDs of an in-depth teaching I did on all of this for the price of $10. And we'll tell you at the end of the program how to get it. But that CD set, that tape set, is called Ha Macomb. Jerusalem is the place. Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, don't even think about dividing the place. We see here that Abraham was told to take his son, and on the third day, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And you know, Isaac said, here's the wood. Where's the offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place, Hamakom, which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar with the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Hineni. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, we say, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. All right, let's see. Jehovah Jireh. What does that literally mean? And how is it said? My apologies to any Jews who might be listening, because they don't say this name, Jehovah. Yahweh, nobody knows how to pronounce it. It hasn't been pronounced in years. But we're just guessing. Yahweh, Jireh. We do know how to pronounce the last part. Jireh. Jireh means to see. The name of the place is Jehovah Sees. God saw. He saw. Jehovah sees that a man will follow him by faith. A man will offer his own son. And then God provides the ram caught in the thicket. And that ram, its horn, becomes the shofar. It becomes that which reminds us that Jehovah sees, and that Jehovah supplies his own son, Yahweh Jireh. Here is the first place that we see in the Bible the name Jireh. Then it becomes Yerushalem, Jireh. God sees here in this place of wholeness, Yerushalem, Yerushalayim. This is where the name of Jerusalem comes. See how important it is in the Word? We'll be expecting to hear you at Box 40 Branson, 65615, asking for the tape series, or 1-800-972-3447, Hamakom.